The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the latest edition of the Racing Podcast, and we're going to look ahead to the Melbourne Cup, the race that stops a nation on Tuesday morning. I'm Dave Kellner, and I'm in the company of Australian commentator Matt Hill to look ahead to this classic race. Matt, good morning.
Hello, Dave. Yes, good to talk to you again. Although, as we do this every year, and it's getting to the stage where you guys can tell me more about the Melbourne Cup than I can, because you've absolutely packed the field this year with horses from Great Britain, Germany, Ireland, France, but it's an intriguing race.
It is, Matt, and as you say, a lot of the horses towards the head of the betting, we know, former European raiders, and I read a quote from a journalist named Nick Compton that says, basically, it should be a national holiday for the whole of Australia, a public holiday, because no one gets anything done. The hardcore punters are studying the form for last-minute tips. The casual punters are trying to talk up the chances of this horse or that one. And the once-a-year gamblers are picking the horse with the best name. It really does capture the imagination of the general public, this race.
It is so true. About, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I live in Sydney, and you just start to see all of the signs going up, all of the hotels around Sydney that are having big lunches for the Melbourne Cup. And you're quite right. I think people work in the early part of the day, finish about midday, and then they go and celebrate the Melbourne Cup. So you're quite right. It probably should be a national holiday, but then you've got a few people out there that can't understand even why Melbourne has a public holiday for a horse race. They think it's ridiculous, but there is nothing else quite like it, and it is so cliched, the race that stops the nation, but it literally does. It doesn't matter if you're whatever job you have, everybody stops when that race jumps, and they've always got an opinion, and that's the thing about the Melbourne Cup. If it was a normal 24-horse race that goes around week in, week out, you'd probably narrow it down to 4 or 5 chances. But because so many people are having a stab at it, they've all got an opinion, so it makes it quite confusing.
I've never had the pleasure of going to the Melbourne Cup, but from what I've read and what I've heard, it's unlike any other horse race. We've got nothing like it back here in the UK. The Grand National, obviously, does capture the public's imagination, but it isn't that same, or it doesn't feel like that same sort of carnival-like atmosphere that you get down under.
Well, I've got to say, as a racing purist, the Melbourne Cup, the whole carnival, we've just experienced Victoria Derby Day last Saturday, and many Australians would say that that's one of the great race meetings of the world, because we have the top-class horses going around. But then Melbourne Cup Day is the iconic day, and there are so many marquees, and there are actually people that there's a massive car park at Flemington, the famous car park, and it's almost bigger than the racetrack itself. And some punters will actually get there with a picnic, maybe out of the back of their car, and they'll never see a horse. They will actually not see a horse or have a bet. They will just have the champagne and have the food. And then there's the celebrity factor as well, where a lot of celebrities go into marquees that are absolutely lavish, and they won't see a race either. So it is a real carnival atmosphere. They'll get about 110,000 to the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, and for any race, that is quite phenomenal. And then the Thursday, Oaks Day, which they call Ladies' Day, the three-year-old fillies battle it out in the Oaks, and all the ladies get to Flemington, and they'll get 80,000 people to that, and that's not even a public holiday.
Sounds like a cracking atmosphere. As for this year's renewal, let's get stuck into the race. Fiorenti, formerly trained by Sir Michael Stout, a horse that we know a lot about over here, now with Guy Waterhouse. Is this horse a worthy favourite?
I think so, especially after it's run in the Cox Plate. The interesting factor about this year's race is the form angles are a little bit all over the place. I've always been a real stickler for the Caulfield Cup being the form race, but it appears that that's not going to be the case this year. Fiorente ran a very brave race in the Cox Plate over 10 furlongs around the tighter track of Moonee Valley. The young jockey Blake Shin decided to lead from the front and really work with Fiorente, and it was able to stick on. So it's going to be a horse that will be up in the firing line. The one horse that interests me is Sea Moon, a horse that came over here with big wraps from Britain. It's had a couple of runs here, and I'd like to think that the Melbourne Cup winner has raced here before. There's a few horses in the race that we haven't seen, but I really do think you have to race here first. And Sea Moon has just been ticking along nicely, just making steady progress, and has got a victory and a comprehensive one over Fiorente to its name last year. So it's the one that I think is a, well, I wouldn't say a smoky. It's about $15 here in Australia. It's about the sixth pick in the market. But look, I think Fiorente certainly deserves to be up there. But I think, having said that, Sea Moon should be considered.
Sea Moon drawn in box number 7. So Fiorente at the head of the betting, Sea Moon at a bigger price. Let's talk through a couple of the others. We'll start off with Mount Athos, who I believe is drawn in 22, Mount Athos. Is this Luca Kamani's best chance to win the race with Mount Athos? He's tried to win it on 8 occasions, Luca Kamani. Mount Athos, second in the market.
Yeah, and I mean, they ran a fantastic race last year. Has the services of Craig Williams, so he loses nothing there. It's an international with a lovely weight, 54 kilos. I think it fits in beautifully there. The only problem is that barrier. I think the barrier draw has taken place not long ago, and I think that has just about gutted them, barrier number 22. That's a very hard gate to win the Melbourne Cup from. It will have to cover extra ground from there. They have a straight run of about 800 metres or half a mile, but they really have to tuck in and get a spot. And I think with a horse like Brown Panther in the race, I believe Brown Panther will probably truck them along and string them out. Mount Athos might be able to get a run, but it's going to be a long, long way back from them. And if it has the tactical pace to jump onto the back of something, approaching the home turn, it's a chance, but it's going to have to be a very, very good ride. It's going to have to be a 10 out of 10 ride by Craig Williams, but deserves to be up there.
You mentioned Brown Panther momentarily there. A lot of people over here will be backing Brown Panther because of connections more than anything else, owned by Michael Owen, this horse.
Don't worry. Yeah, I was at supper the other night, and a few people were mentioning it, and they were doing exactly the same thing. He is familiar to Australian sports fans. Australians are sports nuts, so they certainly know who Owens is. But I'm told by a Welsh colleague of mine, Dave, that he's known to be a bit of a traitor, isn't he, in Wales?
Would that be Darren Owen that's told you that by any chance?
Yeah. He's very fired up about that. my football knowledge isn't great, but I believe that he should be playing for Wales.
I think he was born. He was born on the border, Matt. So he chose chose the nation that he was more likely to go to a World Cup with, Matt. I think that was
Look,
the thing.
I can understand that. I can understand that. But he's one of the horses that landed at Tullamarine Airport 2 weeks ago. A truckload of them, or a plane load of them, that hasn't seen a racetrack here in Australia. They've gone to the quarantine at Werribee. And that's all we know about Brown Panther. But it's drawn a beautiful barrier number 6, but then it's no good having a good gate if you don't have the tactical speed. Of what I've seen of Simeon, who's raced here, the Willie Mullins galloper, I don't think it has the speed at all. I believe that they have tried to put a bit of zip into Simeon, trying sharpening it up at Werribee, at the quarantine centre, but it's a horse that will probably get out the back, and it's no good having a good barrier if you're going to do that.
Yeah. Do you think having previous experience in Australia racing on those sort of race courses is a big positive?
I do. I think if an international is going to win the Melbourne Cup, and we've just seen it with many of the Godolphin horses, and that's why I think that if you're looking for a very good bolter, a horse like Royal Empire would have to be considered. I think a mile and a half horse is what you need. It's a very quick 2 miles, the Melbourne Cup. It's not a dour staying race that the British and the Irish should get themselves into. Such a race like the Goodwood Cup, for instance, or the Ascot Gold Cup is a completely different race to the Melbourne Cup. The Melbourne Cup's probably a bit like the Ebor, big field over a distance. But you need to have a bit of zip to win it. And, you know, I think a horse like Royal Empire, who the only thing is hasn't seen racing here before, and that's important. We saw horses like Oscar Schindler and Drum Taps come here years ago, and they just couldn't handle the closeness of the Australian racing. Australian jockeys ride very tight, and they tend to brush into each other, and it's a tough, fast 2 miles, the Melbourne Cup. You have to be a serious racehorse to win it. And a lot of these horses have just been loping along in long distance races in Britain where they're able to settle with plenty of room and stay away from each other. But the Melbourne Cup's a completely, completely different contest.
We've been through the top couple in the market, Matt. Only another couple of horses in at single figure prices here at Hills, and one of them, you made reference to the Caulfield Cup being a particular form line that you don't take a cursory glance at. You studied that form line closely, and Dandino was second in the Caulfield Cup, trained by Marco Botti, this horse, a horse that we obviously know very well and a very consistent runner.
I've got to tell you, Dave, if it was 15 years ago and Dandino was an Australian horse, and we saw that run in the Caulfield Cup, it would be favourite for sure. That run in the Caulfield Cup was an absolute bottler. It stormed home. Is it a two-miler? That's the question mark, I suppose. But as far as a Caulfield Cup trial into the Melbourne Cup, what a run it was. It was just attacking the line at the end of a mile and a half. So, look, Dandino is certainly in calculations, but the one horse that I think you have to respect is one of the Australians, a horse called Hawkspur. Yep. He was trained by our leading trainer here in Sydney, Chris Waller. This horse won a race over a mile about 6 or 7 weeks ago called the Chelmsford, and they were already hailing it the Melbourne Cup favourite then. And, look, it's a very good horse and had a torrid run in the Caulfield Cup and was very, very good hitting the line. It was just a beautiful trial for the Melbourne Cup. And from a local point of view, Hawkspur with Jim Cassidy, who's a legend over here, he's looking for his 100th Group 1, so there's a bit of a fairy tale attached to it. He has to go in.
Matt, we've been through the top four or five in the betting. Give me your overall verdict on the race, Matt.
Well, it's a mighty question. I'm going to stick with Sea Moon because it's a horse that I've followed since it started racing here, and the owner, Lloyd Williams, knows how to win a Melbourne Cup. He's won four of them. So I think, for me, the top two that I'll be certainly sticking to, Sea Moon, and the other horse that I really do like is Hawkspur. I don't think the Barrier 18 is going to be a problem for Hawkspur because it gets back anyway, and Cassidy knows how to win a Melbourne Cup. His first Melbourne Cup winner was back in 1983. It was 30 years ago, and he knows Flemington and fits in beautifully with 53.5 kilos. So number four, Sea Moon, and number 18, Hawkspur. And then if I'm having exotic forms of betting, a horse over here that has been performing well in Australia, and it might be a surprise to some Brits, is Mass Marvel. It's seemingly grown a leg over here, and it's going very well. And I'd be throwing it in with the other bolter I mentioned earlier, Royal Empire.
Matt, absolute pleasure to speak to you this morning on the Racing Podcast. Enjoy the Melbourne Cup afternoon. I know it's a special day down there, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
No, it'd be tremendous, and lovely that the Melbourne Cup gets the attention around the world that it does, and it's great that William Hill has taken plenty of interest in it. And, as I say, give it 5 years and you'll be telling me more about it, I think.
I'm not sure that will ever be the case, Matt, but thanks.
Good on you, Dave. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.